from the letter to the Hebrews. Be careful. The promise of reaching the place of rest God has for the Israelites still holds good, and none of you must think that he has come too late for it. We received the good news exactly as they did, but hearing the message did them no good, because they did not share the faith of those who listened. We, however, who have faith, shall reach a place of rest, as in the text, "And so in anger I swore that not one would reach the place of rest I had for them." God's work was undoubtedly all finished at the beginning of the world, as one text says, referring to the seventh day, "After all his work, God rested on the seventh day." The text we are considering says, "They shall not reach the place of rest I had for them." We must therefore do everything we can to reach this place of rest. Or some of you might copy this example of disobedience and be lost. And our gospel reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, word went round that he was back. And so many people collected there that there was no room left, even in front of the door. He was preaching the word to them when some people came, bringing him a paralytic carried by four men. But as the crowd made it impossible to get the man to him, they stripped the roof over the place where Jesus was. And when they had made an opening, they lowered the stretcher on which the paralytic lay. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Now some scribes were sitting there, and they thought to themselves, "How can this man talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God?" Jesus, inwardly aware that this was what they were thinking, said to them, "Why do you have these thoughts in your hearts? Which of these is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your stretcher, and walk'? But to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I order you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go off home." And the man got up, picked up his stretcher at once, and walked out in front of everyone, so that they were all astounded and praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Our homily for today. The preceding miracle stories in the Gospel of Mark show that Jesus has compassion on all those who are afflicted by disease or demonic possession, and he acts to relieve them of their suffering. So he is the doctor par excellence. But today's Gospel adds another important reason for these miracles. It is, as Jesus says, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. The diseased and the possessed become a locus of a crucial divine revelation, a sign to the world that Jesus has come to heal us of something far more destructive than any disease or even demonic possession, and that is our sins. In his typically cryptic way, Mark does not tell us why Jesus greeted this particular person with the words, "Your sins are forgiven." We're all sinners, so why single this one person out? A clue may be that Jesus saw their faith, including that of the paralytic. However, I suspect that it is meant as a lead-in to the exchange with the scribes that follows. As Mark tells us, Jesus knows their thoughts. And from the way Mark tells this little story, we can reasonably presume that he wants us to see the scribes, initially at least, as honest persons. In their theology, there was a strict separation between working miracles and forgiving sin. A human being, empowered by God, may do the former, but for them, the latter is the preserve of God alone. As they say, "Who can forgive sins but God?" Jesus does not censure them for thinking in this way. Instead, he challenges them to revise their thinking in relation to him. This particular miracle worker is different, is unique, is the Son of Man, the one who has power on earth to forgive sins, a power that he then demonstrates in his healing of the paralytic. But there is also another factor in this encounter between Jesus and the scribes that demonstrates equally powerfully that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. And this is the disturbing revelation that Jesus knows what they are thinking. Anyone who can demonstrate that he has this kind of insight is a powerful figure indeed, and one before whom we human beings can feel powerless and trapped. After all, we spend a lot of time concealing our sinful thoughts from one another, as well as our sinful actions. But the disturbing thing about this kind of person is that we cannot hide our thoughts, let alone our actions. Jesus knows this human frailty and fear only too well. And I think it is chiefly for this reason that, after proclaiming he has power to forgive sins, he immediately heals the paralytic and lets him go free. Jesus knows the sins of the paralytic and his friends. He knows the sins of the scribes. He knows our sins. But, as shown in his healing touch, his purpose is not to use his power to take advantage of people, but to be to their advantage. And so he frees us from the things that trouble us most, the things that we hide most deeply, the things that trap us. To put this another way, like a good doctor, he is able to provide the right remedy for our diseased condition in the right way. Now, when it comes to medicine, we're all happy to accept a doctor who makes the correct diagnosis of our condition. Even more importantly, therefore, don't we need to know and accept Jesus' diagnosis of our sinful condition if we wish to be healed and become fully human? And don't we all wish that? In sum, this story aims to assure us that the God of all things, who knows all things, desires only our liberation from the slavery of sin that, like a disease, afflicts us. But, as the reading from the letter to the Hebrews warns us, God does not force this freedom on us. God does not coerce. That would be most ungodlike. We are free to accept or reject the freedom, the healing that God brings. Likewise, we can lose the freedom God has gained for us through our disobedience, our self-centeredness, and our pride. But, as the letter to the Hebrews notes, as with Israel, God's promise of rest is always there for those who are repentant. It is a promise that is never revoked.